We're going to be talking tarpon. We've got Marcus Dryman. He is the assistant extension professor with Mississippi State University with us in the studio today. We're going to get Chris Tu, who is the owner and operator of Southern Exposure Guide Service, with us in just a moment. There he is. He just popped up. How you doing, Chris?
How's it going, guys?
Hey, welcome to the show, and Marcus, welcome you.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you for having me.
Chris, are you out on the beachfront today chasing those silver kings?
Actually, not today, but this weekend I will be.
We got the Rotary Tournament coming up this weekend, and Marcus, y'all are going to be tagging again?
Yeah, so we had such a great success with the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo that we're looking to try to repeat a little bit of that with the Rotary Tournament coming up. Obviously, we don't think we can tag another 8 fish, but a couple more would be great.
Well, Chris, you actually won the tarpon category in the Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo this past weekend. How many tarpon did you guys hook, and how many did you land?
We landed 5 fish for the weekend, and we jumped. It was a total of, I believe it was 13 fish.
Wow.
For the total for the weekend.
Well, let's talk about this.
It was an epic weekend on the beachfront for sure.
That sounds great. Let's talk about satellite tagging. That's something new, and you guys are both involved in this. Marcus, why don't you explain what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are different types of satellite tags, but the ones we use are called spot tags. And all that means is that the tag transmits a position estimate when it comes up to the surface. So these types of tags work really well for fish that come to the surface, like tarpon. And they provide relatively accurate position estimates, which is exactly what we're looking for, to be able to figure out where these fish are going and exactly when they're getting to their destinations.
So these tarpon, they're coming to the surface actually to gulp air, and that's how they regulate their swim bladders, right?
It is, and that's amazing. You don't think about fish gulping air, but tarpon are one of these somewhat prehistoric fishes, and they have the ability to do that, and they like to surface just as part of their natural swimming behavior. So, you know, it makes for a perfect fish to be able to put these types of satellite tags on.
Well, we talked, we talked a little bit about kind of the history of tarpon in the area, and the tarpon fishery has taken a hit. It used to be epic all the time, but it's definitely taken a hit. But it's coming back, and there's quite a few people now that are interested more in it and want to learn how to catch these tarpon. So, Chris, tell us a little bit about the fishery here on the Alabama coast, and kind of when these fish arrive and maybe when it ends.
Yeah, this time of year, the tarpon start showing up early to mid-June, and July, it's like the schools are there. There's a lot of them that really show up during July. And they normally run through the second to third week of August. And obviously the fish are migrating from South Florida, and the majority of them end up around Venice, Louisiana, from what we understand. But right here on Alabama coast, July is really probably the best month for them.
And when y'all are targeting these fish, I mean, when I fished a little bit in South Florida, a little south of Tampa for these fish, and in those cases, they're either catching them in the passes, or they're fishing them out on the beach, and these schools of tarpon are migrating through, and they're casting baits to them like live crabs. Things like threadfin herring. How are you guys fishing for them? Because we were sight fishing these fish, and we're using trolling motors or just drifting and casting to these pods of tarpon as they were coming up to roll. How are y'all doing it here on the Alabama Gulf Coast?
Up here with the tarpon migrating from east to west, we'd normally try to fish between 100 yards and 300 yards off the beach. And we'll sight fish for them also, but if you'll see a school or two schools heading west, we'll try to basically get in front of that school and set anchor and try to get in that line that they're running that day. And that's what we call it. They're running the line, and you try to adjust your boat on anchor for the line that they're running that day. And it varies, But we do that, and we'll just drift live baits. We'd normally try to drift, you know, 3 to 5 baits behind the boat. And we use what they call an Atlantic bumper, and the AKA word for that on the Gulf Coast is a crazy fish. That's one of the better baits. And we also have pretty good luck on cigar minnows and the threadfin and ilwha.
On those crazy fish, are y'all sabiking those baits, or are you using red ribbon rig?
The main way you can catch them is on sabiki rigs. I see people trying to catch them with cast nets, but those fish are super fast, and it's almost impossible to catch a fish in a cast net.
So Marcus, these fish are coming through. They're here this time of year, and y'all are learning. I mean, we think they're in and up around in Louisiana. But that's part of why y'all are tagging them, is to learn where they're going. Why are they making this migration? Are they here to spawn?
Well, that's a great question, and that's one of the things we're most interested in figuring out is, do they come up here to the northern Gulf? And like Chris said, they're ultimately headed to the western part of the Gulf around Venice, but do they take forays and go directly offshore to spawn? Now, some tarpon experts have proposed that's what's going on, but the truth is we don't really know where they're spawning. So we're interested in individual movements. So do some of these tarpon hang out in Mobile Bay? Do some swing by the Chandelier Islands and hang out around there? Or are they all more or less headed, you know, kind of towards Louisiana? So these are the things we're trying to learn, and we're getting so much of this information from the anglers, guys like Chris Tu and Hayden Olds and Troy Price, because they've spent so long doing it. I mean, I know Chris makes it sound pretty easy when it comes to catching these fish, but they're super finicky, and these guys are pretty talented.
I've definitely learned that on the trips that I've been on. We see plenty of tarpon. Hooking them is a whole different ballgame.
Exactly right.
I was in Indian Pass once. I think it was in August. The tarpon were just boiling the water all over the whole. You know, it was just unbelievable. I thought, well, this is going to be easy. We ought to just throw a bare hook out there and catch one of these things. But nope, they're very finicky. And we did end up filming a kid catch a 110-pounder, but it took a long time to get a good bite.
Some days it can be extremely tough. Some days you can see 100, 200 fish surface, mm-hmm. you know, in an 8 to 10-hour period, if not more. And some days they're in a feeding mode, and some days they're not. Some days they'll turn their nose at every bait you put in front of them. Well, I guess that's why it's one of the hardest fish to catch.
What I want to know from both you, Chris, and Marcus, is these fish are big. I mean, they're anywhere from 75 to 150 pounds, I'd say, typically. And you guys are out there catching them, Chris, and you've got them subdued at the side of the boat. Marcus, you guys are meeting up with them out on the water and actually getting on their boat and placing these tags. How are you able to get on the boat, place the tag in this tarpon? So tell us a little bit about how you actually place the tag and how you keep that fish calm and healthy so that, you know, the whole point is obviously to keep them alive.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and the short answer is it's an incredible collaboration between the willing anglers. I mean, they're playing the biggest part in this project by hooking up with the fish and allowing us to get on their boat. But then the scientists, and that's another collaboration, you know, with the University of South Alabama. And with those scientists and graduate students, we ease our boat up to the side of the capture boat that the fish is not on. And then a couple folks jump onto the capture boat. And basically, the angler has the head of the fish, just like they normally would. One of the scientists will take the tail and put a real quick tail rope around it to give it some to make it sturdy. And then someone takes a long dart with a needle on it and removes the scale and sticks that tag right, you know, maybe 4 or 5 inches below the dorsal fin in a very particular spot. And what's been impressive to me is how quickly all of this can happen. Because again, the idea is to keep these fish alive and healthy, and that's everyone's goal, whether it's the angler or the scientist or whomever. And so this whole process, yeah, I mean, I timed it watching the videos from the rodeo, and this whole process took about 60 to 90 seconds.
Wow.
So these guys are really doing a fantastic job.
And how long do those tags stay with the fish? Are they eventually going to pop off, or what happens there?
Well, that's a great question. So these tags are darted into the flesh of the fish, and the tag is good for about a year. It'll transmit a signal for about a year with respect to its battery. Now, these tags become fouled, just like anything in the water. They get little encrusting barnacles and things like that. And eventually, the tag will just pull free from the fish. But what we hope is that we get at least half a year to a year of good location data from the fish, and that's about all we can ask for.
We're talking with Marcus Dryman, Assistant Extension Professor with Mississippi State University, and Chris Tu, who is the owner, operator, and guide at Southern Exposure Guide Service. We're talking about tarpon today, and one of the questions we were talking about earlier is the proper handling of a tarpon once you hook it, once you fight it. What are some of the things we need to be aware of?
Yeah, if you're lucky enough to get the fish boat side, the main thing is trying to keep that fish in the water, and once you get the fish under control by grabbing his lower jaw, is to try to keep the boat moving forward, you know, to keep oxygen, keep that fish moving, and try to do it as fast as possible. You know, try to get you a picture with the angler, or, you know, if there's a picture that's wanted. But the main thing is trying to leave the fish in the water and treat the fish with as much respect as you can. Some of the people want to bring the fish on board, and that's kind of a big no-no, you know, in the tarpon community. That fish is prehistoric, and it is due a lot of respect, you know.
I understand that you don't even want to lift it out of the water, not much less put it on the boat. You know, a long time ago, everybody used to kill the tarpon, and then we learned to stop picking them up out of the water and taking pictures of them, because that could kill a lot of them, too.
Now, that's right. It's a lot of stress on that fish, you know, once it's boat side, you know. And plus, you know, just bringing the fish out of the water is more stress on them, you know.
If an angler wants a trophy to take home, some guides still pull one scale off the fish. Is that frowned upon now, or is that okay?
I don't think it's really frowned upon. I don't really support it that well. Out of all the fish we've caught this summer, I've personally pulled one scale for one of the charters that I had. And I know the scientists have to pull a scale to put the tags in them, which is understandable. But the main thing is trying to get a good picture of the fish boat side. And my biggest thing is giving the angler the leader and hook that the fish was caught on, mm-hmm. you know, as much as, to me, that's just as important as having a scale, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Alan, what if, you know, once somebody pulled your toenail off? I
mean,
that wouldn't be good. No, let's talk a little bit about that, because a lot of people really want to pull that fish out of the water. And I've seen a lot of times, too, where guys will pull that fish into shallow water, get in the water with it, and want to hold it. The problem there is that you're going to rub the slime off of that fish, and that's what protects them. But as far as taking them out of the water, is it really because these fish are big and they don't have a skeletal system that deals with gravity very well? So when you pull them out of the water, you're putting a lot of stress on their vertebrae and on their bones, which overtires the fish, but it also can do some damage, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, like Chris said, Chris could have my job as a fisheries ecologist. I would just echo everything that he said. The whole idea is to minimize the amount of time that the fish is being fought, and then, you know, let it go as quickly as possible. Leave it in the water completely and for as long as possible. Keep the boat in gear. Run that fresh oxygenated water over its gills. But certainly, you know, I would not recommend trying to hold the fish in shallow water or anything like that. And that's why I think this recreational fishery is doing such a good job. Our guys like Chris really have this conservation ethos built into them, and they know exactly the best way to handle the fish, and they've been doing a really good job of that.
So, Chris, Marcus just hit on something else that's important, and that's minimizing the amount of time you fight these fish. So, like you said, if you're lucky enough to hook up to one of these fish, of course, the whole reason you're fishing for them is the fight. But what kind of tackle in terms of rod size and reel size and line strength do people really need to have to fight these fish and enjoy it, but not fight them so long that the fish gets tired and is compromised?
Yeah, it's a great question. I typically use, as far as my conventional reels, I use Shimano Trinidad 30As. It's a 30-pound class reel. I run 30-pound mono on those reels on a 7-foot medium-heavy, pretty basically like a trolling rod. My spinning tackle, I run medium-heavy 8-foot spinning rods with a minimum of 6,500 class reels. And on my spinning reels, I run 50-pound Power Pro braid. And that's adequate enough to fight a fish, get a good fight out of them, and not just drag it on for, you know, too long. I know some fish you fight for 45 minutes, and I've seen them go into the 55-minute range. And that's a lot of stress on the fish. But the main thing is knowing when that fish starts to go up. And the more you catch them, the more you'll see it. But if that fish gulps 2 to 3 times, they're trying to replenish their system with oxygen to put up another fight. And I try to keep that to the minimum of 3 gulps. And after the 3rd gulp, you go ahead and try to put as much pressure on that fish to get on both sides as you can. Because if not, it would go on all day. That fish has definitely a will to live, you know.
Chris, we appreciate you being on today, and thank you, Marcus, for being on today. You guys really educated our audience a lot about tarpon, and I hope to have you back.
Yeah, and if you're interested in booking a trip with Chris, they can just check you out online. Check them out at Southern Exposure Inshore Fishing Charters. I think I'm going to book me a trip, Chris, because I want to go catch one of those Alabama tarpon. So thank you guys for being a part of the
That'd
show
be
today.
Awesome, guys.
Yeah, thank y'all.